It's been too long, but once again, you're listening to Eat, Eat, Eat. We're sorry, I guess, that we haven't spoken to you in so long, or, you know, had you salivating at the thought of delicious foods, but life took over, and I'm sure it took over for you. Brian, hello.
Hey, man. It's really nice to be back on air with you on the pod waves.
On the pod waves, yeah. It is nice. Like, I honestly I enjoy doing this so much, and what a shit year. It's just like, this brought positivity into our lives, and, you know, and hopefully other people, and clearly other people seeing that we got featured in The Guardian since we posted an episode. Wow.
Well, I guess when that happened, I mean, obviously that was a tremendous surprise and a beautiful thing to happen. But then after that, I've got to be honest with you, Tim. I think that's kind of like the pinnacle of our podcasting career. And, you know, I've had a son, you know, in the middle of the year. So, you know, my life was getting very busy and work's been stressful. So I was thinking of breaking up with you, Tim. I was thinking that, you know, this, you know, at least let's go on a bit of a hiatus and just, and chill out, you know.
So what you're saying is like, I zoned out for a second, and all I heard was that the fame has gone to your head and that you're going solo. So pretty much you are like, so we're the Gallagher brothers now. We now hate each other.
Who's who? I don't know who I want to be.
Fuck, maybe. Neither. No, definitely like just two of the worst people ever. God.
Anyway, so I had that thought, and as the months rolled by, and I was continuing to kind of be stressed and overwhelmed with my life and the year. And then I thought, hey, actually doing this podcast, it gives me joy, it gives me distraction, and it means I can just talk shit with you. So
let's do it.
And we're actually going to change up our format. So again, there's been some lies that we've been telling the listeners.
So many lies.
It's fake news. This is all across this podcast.
This is like the whole time Donald Trump was talking about fake news. He wasn't talking about, you know, people were thinking, oh, he's talking about, you know, CNN. But the whole time he's just like, he was just having like an old man ramble about how we just kept saying, oh, we'll see you next week. And then the episodes never came.
And so basically,
fake news.
Basically, the lie was that we didn't actually record episodes and then release them. We kind of recorded every school holidays. We record three at a time, and then we would kind of drip feed them to you because you guys are obviously just hanging for it. But now we're going to move to like a more of a monthly a cycle. And I think that's partly so that we can be a bit more spontaneous. We can talk about our month and kind of talk about the food news we've checked out on, or we've heard. And we might even try some live podcast recordings, which is a bit of a throwback to our community radio days. So now we're fessing up. I think this is going to be a nice new chapter.
You have no reason to trust us, but like, look, in the Guardian's countdown of the, you know, the best food podcast, we were above Otterling, so you probably should trust us. I still don't know how that happened, but let's just pretend like it's actually because our podcast is good, and I don't know. It was the highlight of a shitty year for me to get in that thing.
It really
yours
was.
Yours is probably having like a beautiful son, but like for me, like that's probably up there. into a Guardian article.
It was neck and neck. but okay. So let's get into it. So any food news or any kind of things you've cooked or eaten in the past little while that you'd like to comment on?
Well, I'm struggling a little bit with like food motivation. I've moved into a new place, so it's got a good kitchen. Oh, very exciting news. The kitchen of the apartment I've moved in has the world's best wok burner. Like, this thing can, it's like, I have burnt hair off my hands on every time I like get that wok frying, it's suddenly the kitchen smells like, yeah, not good, because it's, but that's an exciting development in my life. It boils like I've just bought like a 20 liter stock pot.
Oh,
it'll boil that in, you know, five minutes, no problems. And you know, wow. I've been doing quite a bit of home brewing with some friends, and it's,
oh really,
yeah, doing some really good beers, and that has been good to have that industrial wok burner. Apparently the person who lived here before us was a chef, so I don't know if he like demanded it put in or, but so that's exciting.
That's super exciting, man.
Other food news. Oh, I made a batch of kimchi for the first time in a while. I used to make that on a regular basis. I'm still doing a bit of coffee roasting, mainly just for me and, you know, just giving some to friends. I've been eating pub schnitzels again. That's, you know, that's what will improve my life. I had one today, a $9.91 at the Wynyard Hotel.
Nice.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's the best pub schnitzel. Just, I know that we're going on a bit of a tangent here, but I had it. It's in terms of like price to quality ratio is it the Coronation? Oh, I think it's the Coronation. It's the pub that is closest to Woolworths in Town Hall. The Town Hall Woolworths in Sydney has like a $13 schnitzel, or as a few of my friends and I call it, we just say we're going to get brown, because it's just this brown gloop, but it's so good. So yeah, that's pretty much as exciting as my life's gotten with food. What about you?
The suburb I live in has just opened its first Vietnamese restaurant. Like, it's predominantly a Korean suburb.
Yeah, very Korean suburb. Yeah,
But first Vietnamese restaurant. And we got some takeaway from there the other day. And I don't know why I haven't had this insight before, but we got this lemongrass pan-fried pork chop, and it was just the most delicious thing I've eaten in a very long time. It just seems like the best marination and flavor profile for pork. So sounds lemongrass, like a great fish sauce. Yeah,
sounds like a great summer dish. It sounds like it would be quite a refreshing flavor.
So good, and it comes with the pickles and the fish sauce vinaigrette and the nok cham, and with red rice, the tomato flavored rice, and it was just. It was just so delicious. So that was really, really fun. What else? In terms of cooking, it's been pretty chilled. I've just been kind of leaning on some classics and.
Yeah. Last time before you, like your son was born, you were saying you were going to work on cooking simple dishes. How's that gone? Are you cooking simple, or are you still cooking elaborate spreads?
No, I think I've pretty much achieved my goal in that sense. Just keeping it simple. Just paring down every recipe to its key components. So that's been really good. And yeah, just kind of using the freezer. Eating frozen dumplings and quality frozen pies. And it's delicious.
What's your go-to frozen pie brand? Are you going a home brand, or are you getting a bit
fancy? No, there's a fancy one. So I think it's actually for full price, it's like $6. Oh no, full price is like $10 for two.
Always a half price.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And literally just microwaving it makes it really good. Like, you can put it in the oven, but 4 minutes in the microwave and it's really good. So
do you wrap that bad boy in paper towel in the microwave, or are you just throwing that thing straight in?
On a plate, that's it.
I don't know why they used to always on the instructions say wrap it in a piece of paper towel, but then I also bought my first frozen pie in a while and it didn't say that anymore. So maybe that was just like an old wives' tale to do that, but there's been modern advancements in frozen puff pastry or something like that.
Or it's the greatest conspiracy theory since, the relationship between jails and rap music. It's between the paper towel company and the frozen pie the frozen pie industry.
I think so, but...
You heard it here first.
Or a pie is like, you know, there's, we don't know what we're eating with frozen pies. Like you look, you ever looked at like the ingredient list of frozen pies? Like there's a good 100 things in there. And maybe there's just one of those scientific words that is actually just means paper towel. Maybe they're already pre-wrapping it. They're pre-wrapping that pie for us. And then we're just eating the paper towel. Who knows? Who knows? Wake up, sheeple. Wake up.
blowing the pie lid wide open, Tim.
Oh, I've got other big life news.
Okay.
And you did just briefly meet him before we hit record, but I have
a handsome boy.
I have a long boy in my life now. a hot dog in food terms. Rescued a greyhound. Something I've been wanting to do for many years, and finally did it, and it's been a great thing. You're someone with young kids, so you will be like, yeah, you'll be like pissed off that I say this, but I'm like, you know, I'm feeling the new parent life. Like, yes. He wakes us up early. I have to take him out late at night. I'm tired, but it's worth it. Is that the same as having kids?
It's remarkably similar in many ways. So it's it's legit.
Do you just throw food into a bowl on the floor, and is that how you feed your kids? I don't know. I ready? Okay, yeah, cool.
That happens.
But I guess like the long dog, his name is Clem. He's sweet. He's a nice chap. But I guess it's a good segue into what we're going to talk about today, because you know it's coming up to Christmas. It's getting pretty close, and Santa's little helper. I think Santa's little helper from The Simpsons was a greyhound, right? I wasn't sure
what your segue was going to be.
We've got
a dog in Asia for Christmas. Probably.
And all, you know, all for him, like go for it. We're trying to think about how we're going to involve Clem in his first, Christmas with us, and maybe get him some fun outfits, maybe dress him up as a hot dog. Just got me excited about Christmas again. It's just exciting to, and you're probably the same with having a new, although your son is so young, he probably doesn't realize what's going on, but it's like the thought of bringing someone new to experience your family traditions is quite exciting, because there are things we've been doing for so many years that maybe after a while they like seem normal, but people's Christmas traditions are not normal. People have very strange traditions.
Oh, go on.
I don't know.
Did you have some strange ones growing up?
No, I think my family's ones I don't know, but they seemed like your classic things. Like we all pull the bonbons, make a big deal about it. We all put the hats that come inside the Christmas bonbons on our head. And the great thing is that, I don't know if it must be a genetic thing, but numerous members of my family have very large heads. So then always those hats end up like tearing. And so, when you put yours on this Christmas, just remember like how easily it fits on. Mine is like cutting off circulation. And, and then when I've got the food sweats, it starts getting wet and it just tears. But
gosh.
I don't know. I guess in recent years I've been going to my partner's family for Christmas, and they have weird traditions. Like they have we all get given a pair of Christmas pajamas on Christmas Eve, and then we all get changed into them. So that's weird. They also have a Christmas stick instead of a Christmas tree. They just go and pick up a stick from outside and hang it up. So,
that's great. I love that.
I also now I love it. And what about you? Do you when you grew up? Did you have any Christmas traditions? Was Christmas, was Christmas a big deal, or was it just kind of?
I think early on the presents and the Christmas tree were a big deal, and then in terms of food, we would go to my cousin's place. And they would do the kind of full traditional spread, like we had like pumpkin soup and then turkey and all the trimmings and fruit cake and stuff. So they were always really good memories going there and playing Mario Kart and seeing the sex scene from Dirty Dancing when I shouldn't have. So that was really fun. And then, yeah, I guess it kind of just became less of a thing. And then, like, we've kind of stopped really doing presents in the past, you know, 5-10 years. But as you said, with some babies coming along, that's kind of reinvigorated. But yeah, like, you know, the same way you're dressing up Clem, then I should probably dress up my 5-month-old son as a hot dog. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, it's the same. Like, it's do it while they can't, like, say no. You know, like,
yeah.
But what, like, are you? You know how we're talking about Christmas traditions. You've got your own family now. Are there any, like, traditions that you want to bring in? Is there, like, a food tradition, or is there, like, it doesn't even have to be food related, is there something you can think of that you could be like, oh, I like, do you have a Christmas, you know, do you want to take the Christmas stick? Are you gonna, you're welcome to have it.
What a gift. I don't know, like, I have various things that I think about when I can't sleep at night. It's like, I think about, how do I make a Radiohead degustation? Like, how do I map each course to, like, each album or each song on OK Computer or something?
Your kids are going to love you. Wow.
I'm going to be so crushed if they don't like Radiohead. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. But anyway, so one of the other things I think about is how I kind of adapt the traditional Christmas meal with a particular culture. So how would I do, like, a Korean version of a Christmas meal? Like, would I do, like, a gochujang marinated chicken, and then have, like, a you know, banchan as, like, the sides? But that'll be my thing. Like, every year it's a different ethnic cuisine with kind of, like, the same elements. Maybe each year there'll be a riff on, like, a deviled egg with the flavor profiles from that culture or that cuisine. So that's the only thing that I've thought about, but not much in terms of, like, pre-existing traditions, I guess.
And if your kids, like, when they get a bit older and they just hate this, I will come over and we can just do this together, because, like, we will both appreciate this. We can just have our Christmas together doing, like, our old radio show, The Suburbs, where we'd go and eat different cuisines. I'm there for you pretty much if you want to do this idea. Cause I think that actually, I was trying to think about that. If I have a family one day, what tradition would I like to do? And I was, that sounds like a nice one. Or I was thinking, like, how nice it would be, like, to have, like, a Korean hot pot as a as a Christmas meal, you know, because it's so much more communal, I think, than like, if the turkey's in the middle and everyone's, like, just reaching in and grabbing it with their hands at the same time, it's not being pre-carved, like, then that's nice, you know. It's a family. You should all be reaching in from the same pot. So yeah.
I was gonna ask, what's your view on turkey in general?
It's not great, eh? Like, I love all foods. Like, turkey, if it's there, I'm gonna be excited, I'm gonna eat it. But it's never, like, just thinking back, I'm like, is it actually that tasty? Like, would I take it over other meats? I don't know. Like, what about you? Are you into it?
No, I think it's a very flawed, a flawed animal to roast. And my idol Dave Chang has a big campaign against turkey. But I think there are ways to exploit turkey for its, basically just to try and ameliorate its weaknesses. It has no real strengths, I think, apart from its size and, like, novelty-sized drumsticks. But I think, anything where you can bring a bit more moisture into the situation is going to be useful. So turkey congee could be a fun option. Not so good for our weather, but if you have a cold forecast for the 25th, that could be a good option. Maybe like a version of Hainan chicken rice, like a Hainan turkey rice.
Ooh, that's nice.
And that could be quite nice with the chili sauces and the cooling kind of tomato and cucumber. So I think there are some options, or maybe like a little, like a chicken salad, like a turkey salad with kind of shredded turkey with some chili oil and tahini or sesame paste. That could be a nice, refreshing change to the conventional turkey.
So pretty much hide the, like, blandness of turkey Hide the blandness of turkey and add like chili and, you know, and other flavors and you'll be okay. But is that like, I don't know. Is that like a traditional Australian Christmas? I don't know if turkey is the, like the highlight of an Australian Christmas dinner. Like, everyone, I always have memories of like a big Christmas ham and, and that's, Christmas ham is just the greatest thing ever. Like, you really? Eat it up, so
you just like the flavor. You like it. Do you like it? I love it cold, right?
I like a cold, salty ham. Yeah. Like, and you know, it's the best part of it is like you're eating it in like March and going, is this like, I'm probably going to die. I think there was a Batuta article that will get recycled, I'm sure, in the next month or so. But last year they had it where it's like, you know, it was posted in like middle of February or March and it was like, oh, dad says it's okay for one more week or something like that. And it's, I feel it's like the dads of the world and this is your responsibility. Just like keep that Christmas ham going. everyone always buys, you go into like, you're like, oh, I'll buy a small ham and you go into like, they never have a small one left. It's always the, like, it's always the 3 kilo ham. And you just eat ham for, I get to like about January and then I'm like, I can't do ham anymore.
Well, while we're on the subject of ham, I've been thinking about this recently, but the whole like ham and pineapple debate on pizza, I feel like I've just got to settle it. So what? ham and pineapple are a great combination. Like you think about.
Oh, wow. This is, you know, we've talked about high cuisine and, you know, on here, and now this is the lowest of low cuisines, the ham and pineapple pizza.
I don't think it is though. Okay. So you think about kind of a comparative study. So you think of like prosciutto, which is a form of ham, and rock melon, like a classic combination. So you've got the saltiness and the dryness of the ham combined with something that's sweet and fruity and luscious. That makes sense. So to me, it just seems obvious that they should go together, and it could be anything, any tropical fruit. I would go ham and rock melon. I would go ham and cherries. I would go ham and watermelon even. So yeah, ham and watermelon pizza, I'm putting it out there
for Christmas. I think that's a nice, again, I would give this my vote for a family Christmas meal because a pizza is communal.
Yeah, okay.
And it needs to be a communal meal. Like, I don't want if you're listening and you haven't planned your Christmas lunch or Christmas dinner yet, don't do any of this pre-serving and be like, or like carving it up another table and then you all get your own plate. I just put it in the middle of the table. We've had so many restrictions this year where we can't, you know, we haven't been able to get close to anyone. Like, go and have a good time. Go and have a good time. Everyone's hand in the on the chicken or on the turkey, on the ham. Like, come on, let's do it.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild.
Are you a prawn man? You enjoy the, like, I guess the prawn is like the, I guess that's the stereotypical Australian Christmas food almost. It seems like, or is it? It seems like a lot of people I know have more of the cold Christmas foods because it's often a hot day, so they have like the prawns and maybe a cold ham.
Yeah, I think prawns are the unsung hero of the seafood world. Like I've always eaten oysters but never really like enjoyed them that much. Early in the year I bought some really expensive oysters and got them delivered. It was like a tasting pack of oysters because I really just wanted to like see what all the fuss was about when I had really quality oysters, and it just, yeah, I wasn't like super impressed. And actually I cooked some of them and I actually preferred it that way. There's like a Taiwanese or like a Southeast Asian dish, like an oyster omelet. And that was really super delicious on rice. So to me, oysters are a little bit overrated.
This is like, oysters are like one of my favorite things.
Really?
Like, but I've had, I think oysters in Australia are a bit iffy. And
really?
Our, okay. A friend of mine, Paul, who has family in a coastal town in France, La Rochelle, which I have eaten the best oysters of my life. from there. And I feel like I need to say this because I've previously trashed French cuisine in an episode and he now doesn't talk to me anymore. But the, like, I think the comparison of like the oysters I ate there to the oysters I've had here, and I still love the oysters here, but it's there is just this next level, like, oyster out there. And these were just like ones from a market, like, not like just like shucked at the market, super fresh. And I'm right into it. I maybe it is just the experience of, you know, it's a bit of a fun thing to eat, I think.
But if we're talking about fun eating, back to the prawns. The prawn is I think it's super fun to eat. And
I get stressed. I get stressed now that
you got poo shoot anxiety.
Now I've been informed that I have been eating the poo shoot for years. If no one had told me about that, I wouldn't have cared. But now I feel like a sense of shame that I am not pulling out the poop on Christmas Day when the prawns are being passed around.
Fair enough. That's that's facing some dark corners of your psyche. But for me, the kicker is the fact that the prawn is self-sourcing. The head provides like the perfect accompaniment to the prawn itself. And like, so obviously if you don't eat prawn heads, then I won't talk to you. Because it's just like a delicious, perfect accompaniment to the prawn.
How do you eat a prawn head?
I usually just like take off the head shell, and just take a bite out of the brain.
So you get rid of the shell and then you just eat all
Yeah. So de-shell the body and then take the head off. And then what I'll do is I'll probably take a bite of the tail just to kind of get a pure flavor of the meat. And then I'll eat the head and then I'll eat the rest of the body. That's my ideal prawn body segment sequence.
So I guess if you're listening and you're going, that sounds disgusting, I'm not going to do that. Really, can 2020 get any worse? Give it a go. Like, just go and try it, and you know, it can't be worse than how crappy this year's been. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah, I think that is a thing that I think some people listening might be like, "Oh, I've never done that." But that's what we're here for. We're here to expand your horizon. I don't even know if I've ever eaten a prawn head, and I'm going to. I've eaten a prawn head in like a curry, like prawn head curry.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if I don't think I do it on like when I'm just eating the prawns on Christmas Day. It wasn't something that we ate as kids. It's kind of a bit new to me and I'm trying to work it out. So
actually I should qualify this. And this is probably the reason why most people don't like it is if you get a bad prawn head, like if the prawn's not super fresh, then the prawn head can be pretty rank. So when you're at when you know you've got some fresh prawns or you're at like a nice restaurant, that's probably your best entry level for the prawn head.
Oof. All right. I'm going all in. I'm freaking out the family. Just so they're going to be bothered by it, but that's generally my place at the Christmas party is pushing boundaries. So what about were you like a pavlova guy? Is your family like got the pull out the pavlova, or are you a fruitcake? What's your dessert option at a Christmas party?
I think we didn't really have anything super regular. Maybe we did like a cheesecake, but I think like pavlova is the perfect. It's one of the greatest kind of desserty, kind of cakey,
especially for a hot around. For a hot summer's day. It's like
exactly
it ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. So I think it's a winner. Fruitcake, I was thinking fruitcake might make a really good ice cream, like making an ice cream out of fruitcake. I'm sure Messina or someone has done it because it's just super heavy. It's intense. You need something to kind of temper the flavors. I guess it's not that far from like a rum and raisin, right?
Fruitcake is similar to a Christmas ham, and it's something that like lives forever. It's like, I feel like there'll be fruitcake in the cupboard after Christmas till like June. And I'm like, yeah, it's good to go. Like, cause it's got like a lick. It's often got like an alcohol in there. Right.
Yeah.
So it's, So it's being preserved. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of alcohol, have you, you've got a Christmas beer there.
Well, yeah, this was in the cupboard and I've been in trouble because it turns out it was a gift for some. I saw it in the cupboard and I thought it was one I had bought, but it was actually meant to be for Beck's dad. So sorry, Pete. but it was bought, Beck bought it, my partner bought it when she was out working with the bushfire recovery. She was traveling around and she found this great brewery called New England Brewing Co. They're in Urella. This must have been back from like before June, like, you know, when it was getting pretty cold, they did a beer called Big Winter. Big Winter, which is a kind of a dark ale, they describe it as a strong Belgian dark ale with dark fruit, burnt sugar and toffee. It's quite nice. Like and now I'm seeing, you know, a lot of the craft breweries are doing Christmas beers and a lot of them are dark. And I am wondering, like, this I get, like, you know, they released this in a time where it was cold, where dark beers are really suited. But I feel like right now, like, really, should Australian Christmas beers be a dark beer, or is that just kind of falling into American traditions as well? Like, should our Christmas beers in Australia be like a really light pilsner or like a pale ale or something? Because, you know, we're often like spending Christmas on the beach or like having a barbecue or something like that. So I'm enjoying this one a lot, but at the same time, like, if it was on a boiling day, I don't know if it would be the perfect beer for me.
Yeah, I think there's a place for it. Maybe if you had like a little progression happening, you could kick off with maybe like a Berliner Weisse or like a sour or maybe like a cherry beer or something that would probably go quite nicely with your ham. Perhaps moving on to a heavier one. Actually, the heavier pairing might work quite well with dessert and pick up on those kind of toffee and kind of malt characteristics.
It depends on your level of like air conditioning or fans. Like, if you're sitting in like boiling heat, then maybe just go and buy a case of Height. Like, really, just go and get like a light lager and get it cold, and that'll be the best Christmas beer. But if you've got good air conditioning, I reckon you're right. Like, do some pairing, have some really nice beers, and switch it up for your Christmas meal. And
Well, speaking of pairing, my taste test on my end of things is apparently this is a Swedish thing, but it's ginger biscuits, like a ginger snap, I guess, and blue cheese. Yep. So I've got them here. I've never had this before.
So sweet, is it like a ginger snap is a sweet biscuit?
Yeah, like a sweet ginger biscuit. Ooh, and then blue cheese. All right,
sweet,
so
sweet and salty and funky. All right,
good luck. I'll let you know. Here we go. Oh yeah. It's nice. It's not particularly it's not like phenomenal, but it's quite complimentary. I guess it makes sense when you have a cheese board and you've got sweet elements there, like your little muscatels or grapes or your quince paste. So it kind of picks up that kind of combination. And maybe it takes out the kind of front end funk of the blue cheese and leaves you just with the back end. So yeah, I approve Sweden.
I feel like Northern Europeans really get the kind of layering of thing, like layering on biscuits. Like, you know, you go to Denmark and they do the I can't remember what it was called, like what that's called, you know, they do like the wafer with layers of, that's like their like go-to, or like the open sandwich sort of thing. So
yeah,
I trust them with their layering of flavors, so I'll give that one a go.
Well, speaking of Europe, I know you spent some time in Germany. Did you have any kind of Christmassy experiences there?
Well, it's like the land of Christmas, Brian. It's the Christmas markets, that's Saint Nick. That's you know, it's, I guess a lot of our, like, probably a lot of our connections to Christmas have, like, originated in Germany and then been Americanized and then turned into, like, Christmas, the Christmas movie starring Hulk Hogan. So it kind of goes, like, it's all spiraled from there. There is a great scene in that movie, classic Christmas movie. If you haven't watched it ever, you put it on this year, Santa with Muscles starring Hulk Hogan. And there is a scene where the baddies are, like, trying to run him over, and he just stops the car with his strength, and he's just holding it as they, like, floor it at him, and he's just there in a Santa outfit. So, yeah, but anyway, didn't meet Hulk Hogan in Germany. That would have been nice. But, yeah, a few years ago when I had my first ever German Christmas, and it's pretty special. It's, if you have your, like, image in your head of, like, a traditional Christmas and you're going in the winter, you're drinking malt, like, a mulled wine, in a Christmas market, and eating all the biscuits, like, the kind of the great German biscuits that you can often get from Aldi at this time of year. So go and buy your German biscuits from Aldi. But yeah, it's pretty amazing. And but I actually, something that probably stuck with me more is on New Year's Eve, Germans have this, and I think a lot of Europe actually has this long running tradition of watching this old like short film called Dinner for One. It's really strange. It's an English movie, so it's all in English, but it was like back in the, who knows when it was made, like a long time ago. It was like, it's in English, and every German on New Year's Eve watches this thing called Dinner for One, which is, and so when we were there, like, we were like, oh, we have to do it. And it's hilarious. It's like the nicest tradition to, like, gather around with the family and watch this thing. And I apparently got played for the, like, even though it's so famous with, like, you know, there's over 80 million Germans and a lot of other parts of Europe, like Northern Europeans watch it as well. And it's in English. Like, it has never, no one in, like, the UK has ever watched it. But apparently last year it got played on New Year's Eve on British television for the first time. So maybe it will become a bit of a tradition around that time of year for us as well. But it's so, so great. It's a story of a short film about a senile old lady who's having a dinner party with four of her. She's, you know, she's a bit proper and fancy, and she's having three of her closest, fancy friends around, but I think all of them have actually died. But she's a bit senile, so doesn't realize that they're gone. So her butler, who brings out all the meals, he has to play each character. He has to, like, pretend that the other people at the dinner table are there. And it's hilarious. Very worthwhile. So maybe that'll become a Christmas tradition for me in the future, or like a New Year's tradition. We all watch Dinner for One. And to our German listeners, you know what I'm talking about. Everyone else is just like, I have no idea what you're rambling about, but yeah.
I love the quirky vibe of that, and just the fact that there's such a group collective experience of a nation in that is so beautiful.
Isn't there a thing where people watch Die Hard or something?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve in Australia. So maybe it's the German equivalent of that.
Yeah, I think maybe Ira Glass from This American Life talked about it, is that Christmas is the one time in the year where we all kind of try and act out the same play or something. And then we have this common kind of framework that we operate from, but we all have our different variations of how we play it out. So I love that sense of communality, but also individuality that Christmas brings. So it's really a special time.
Yeah, no, it really is. But you were telling me before we started recording, like, about kind of your non-typical Christmas. We've talked about, like, your German Christmas, which is like the, probably that sort of really old fashioned Christmas that we all picture, like the winter Christmas. And then we've got the Hollywood take on Christmas and the Australian prawns and summer Christmas. But are there Christmases that we like kind of non-traditional Christmases that we might not really know about?
Yeah, I mean, there's two that come to mind. I'm sure there's many others out there. The first one I think I noticed when I was in Japan, it was the fact that there would always be lines outside KFC on Christmas Eve. So apparently in the 70s, it started out as like a marketing campaign for KFC pretty much, just to, yeah, bolster their sales and kind of have a chickeny substitute for the turkey. So now it's a huge tradition just to get KFC on Christmas Eve. So that seems perfect for us.
I was about to say we.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I guess the other tradition that really intrigued me was the history of Jewish people eating at Chinese restaurants in New York. So I guess it kind of came about in the early 20th century or the late 19th century when Italian restaurants would only serve Italians and Germans would only serve Germans. The Jewish people went where they could and they went where was open on Christmas Day. And it actually allowed Jews to transition from a strict kosher diet to incorporating more non-kosher elements. So it's become just a huge celebration of Jewish immigration, education and community. And it's just created this bond between these two cultural groups. So to me, that's like what Christmas is all about. So super amazing.
Well, that's something I had no idea about. So you've made my day because that I had no understanding that was a thing, that like there was this culture of Jewish people eating Chinese food. So there you go.
Yeah, it's the magic of Christmas.
Eat is all about. This is why we've come back is to spread interesting facts.
Thank you, Wikipedia, once again. I guess one part of Christmas that we haven't talked so much about is presents, which is really...
What have you got for me?
Nothing.
You did give me, for my birthday, which I will accept for Christmas, fried chicken candy.
Oh, yes.
It was kind of weird tasting, but I loved the thought.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. Presents is, it's still a kind of frustrating part of Christmas for me. And again, it's something which like kind of is joyous for children, but probably not one else. But I guess perhaps we'll shoot out some ideas about some stocking stuffers, maybe for that work Kris Kringle, or maybe for, you know, the other people in your life. So yeah, what are your go-tos, Tim? Like, what do you like to do for an easy food related Christmas present?
I don't know. Just like, obviously like always just buying the six pack of beers. If it's the right person, no one's going to complain about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking before, I was like, what are some nice, you know, more something that might trigger a food hobby? Like, so maybe like a pickling jar. Or I don't know, like maybe, yeah, or like a recipe book. That's a nice one. You know, I think like that sort of thing. Like I've often got like recipe books for Christmas, and I think like a cooking book, and I think that's a nice thing to give. Mm. Or just like, I don't know, put a jar of kimchi into someone's Christmas stocking, and then they'll, you know, be calling plumbers for the sewage leak, and then there'll be the pleasant surprise on Christmas Day that, oh, whoops, it was actually just a tasty jar of kimchi.
That's a sign of Korean Santa coming down your chimney. they all sound really good. I mean, I think some nice usable kind of kitchen gadgets are my go-to. So I think some kitchen tweezers are really handy.
Your favorite thing.
That's really useful, and it's useful for a variety of things. Like my daughter stuck a bead up her nose, and I got out my kitchen tweezers and my wife got the bead out. So it's just nice having a multi-purpose tool. What else? Oh, I love my blowtorch. But don't get the one from like don't get a culinary one from a culinary store. I just went to Bunnings and bought like a soldering blowtorch. Then you just put like a propane.
Yeah, it's all fire, right?
Yeah, exactly. What else do I really like gadget wise? It's just like a bench scraper, like a pastry scraper. So that's just like a rectangle of steel with a handle. That's really good as like a hand to pick up produce from, or pick up your chopped goods or onions from your bench into the pan into your container. Or it's really good for kind of bashing out mince. So that's my like my go-to set of reasonably priced kitchen gadgets for your
stockings. If you're doing like a really just like throwing things in the stockings, go and take a look at Daiso. Like I bought a Daiso like peeler like about 5 years ago, and it is just like, it's still razor sharp. Like it was, and it was $2.80. I'm not saying like, I think Daiso sells a lot of junk and it's kind of everything that's wrong with the world. Like it's just disposable stuff. But this one, I think some of their kitchen stuff might be half okay. And so, yeah, there you go. Take a look at there if you just need something cheap for the kids. Just go buy them an industrial, like, you know, a very sharp peeler.
And a blowtorch.
Yeah. This is Eat Parent Advice Podcast. And vaccinate your kids. We're recording late into the night, and I'm getting a bit of a sensation that is familiar, I think, to after when you eat a Christmas meal. Actually, nothing even comes close to like post Christmas lunch just crashing. Like I don't know if it's a good feeling. I'm sometimes just like the whole family just feels like crap, and I guess it's probably good sometimes if you're one of those families that has like arguments during Christmas, which I think is quite a common thing. And like, at least if everyone's eaten too much, then it starts to get a bit quieter because everyone's just the food is a positive influence in those situations. But I don't know. I feel, is there a more positive way to like, is there something we should be doing post Christmas lunch that can you know, just save the day, because I feel everyone just falls asleep pretty quickly, and all the good times end just too quickly.
Well, I have been thinking about a post Christmas lunch meditation practice, kind of inspired by the KFC mindfulness meditation we were privileged enough to listen to a couple of episodes ago. I've never done much kind of meditation creation in my career. So I think this could be the time for my first draft of meditation practice. So lucky I've got
are you gonna spit some rhymes? Are you gonna
spit some meditation rhymes? Okay, so here we go. And I've got my proper microphone. Like this mic is meant to be for ASMR. So should I go on?
Yeah.
Right like this. Ooh.
That's good. So if you're listening, like maybe...
Does that sound good to you?
It's a bit creepy.
Okay, that's what we want.
Sounds like we're watching like Saw 5 or something like that. But so if Brian, if we're like, you know, if someone's listening and they want to get involved in the first ever EDD meditation, what do they do? How do they get comfy? Do they put their wok burners on? I don't know. Do they turn the microwave on?
Do whatever you need to do to feel comfortable. You can take off your shoes or your pants, whatever is going to have you feel comfortable and not have you arrested. that's the fine line we want to strike. Okay. Shall we begin?
Yeah. Dim the lights.
Okay. So you've taken your shoes and your pants off.
Yes, that feels good. So you've just had a lot of turkey and a lot of ham and a lot of prawn heads. You may be feeling congested and quite parched from it all. So now I want you to take some time, focus on your breathing. In and out. Trust in your intestines. Trust that they will digest your food. Yes, they will digest all of it. And trust that you'll pull it out and it will be good. Today has been a stressful day. There's been tension. There's been laughter. There's been a full range of emotions. But know that tomorrow is another day. And 2020 is almost over. That's it.
Wow. You can leave your job and just start releasing some mixtapes, some meditation.
Healing,
mixtapes.
Yes, healing is how I would describe what I just did.
That was potentially the creepiest thing I have ever heard. And I can't wait to play it for my family on Christmas.
I might get like disbarred from my profession for that. Yeah, but that's fine. I'm proud of what transpired here today.
Yeah, that was nice. And look, I'm more excited for Christmas now. I'm excited to eat some prawn heads and just like, you know, maybe it, like you're saying, it's 2020's nearly over, so let's just do whatever you want to do this Christmas. Like, just live a little, and then we will all start fresh in 2021.
Yeah, well, we're going to record in January, aren't we?
Yes, and that is not a lie.
It's not a lie. We're going to do it. Hold on. You might be away, and then I'll be away.
No, okay. There will be an episode in January, and if there's not, then yeah, like I don't know. There's no accountability here, but there's going to be an episode in January.
Okay. We're going to be held to this.
Yeah. But yeah, Merry Christmas from us, from me, Tim, and from Brian at 888. Thanks for listening over the course of the year of what's been a crappy year. And listening, yeah, weirdly, like we just make this podcast, if you haven't realized, it's a low budget affair. And we got in The Guardian because of people, you know, people like you who actually for some reason listen to us. And that made our year. Well, it made my year, it made yours, Brian.
Yeah, part of
the year, yeah. And the, you know, having a beautiful family. And but yes, Merry Christmas from us at 888, and we'll see you in January. And please go and enjoy your prawn heads and be well. 2021 is going to be a better year.
It's going to be the best New Year's Eve ever.
All right. See you later. And we'll see you in January. Thanks for listening to 888.